From Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Hanukkah, at home and away. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is formulated in a way that's very unusual. The Gemara says, Ner Hanukkah ish ubeso. This is Ner Hanukkah and ish ubeso. A man and their house. So which one is it? Is it obligation on every person or only on the house? The Rambam makes it very clear. He says, Mitzvah Ner Hanukkah, Shihei kol bayis ubayis madlik. Every house has to light. Every house? What about, the house is not Jewish. I mean, one person in the house has to light for that house. And then they're done. So the obligation is not on the individual. The obligation is on the house. It's like a mezuzah, right? It's not that every person lives in the house, they have to put up their own mezuzahs. No. If I was renting a room in my house, they don't have to put up a mezuzah. I already put up a mezuzah. If you get a house and already had mezuzahs, you could leave them. You don't have to put them up again. It's an obligation on the house. The house has a mezuzah, it's fine. So too here, the obligation is on the house. So the question is going to be, what if you're not in the house? What if you're away? But before we get to that, and I want to thank Rabbi Yona Ries for this whole analysis. The question is, why the house? Why is this mitzvah formulated for the house? We don't say, somebody in the house has to eat matzah. Somebody in the house has to eat shake a lulav. No, everyone has to shake a lulav. Everyone has to eat the matzah. So why is this different? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that, well, now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a holy sanctuary. So your home becomes like the place of sanctity. And it shows you that you should sanctify your house. Based on this, you should certainly light candles in the shul, as a custom developed for the last 1,000 years or so, that we light in shul as well. Second theory is mentioned in an obscure place of the Ramban, and he says that, look, the Greeks tried to invade our homes, a home invasion, that they wanted to bring all the Greek ideas, the Mityavnim ideas, into our homes. And we said, no, our homes will be sacrosanct. It's a Jewish home, and we identify it by putting the menorah, the Chanukiah, out in the window. Pnei Yoshua, one great commentator, Gemara and Shabbos, so he says, well, look, the whole idea of lighting candles is pirsumi nisa, to spread the word about the miracle. So how do you spread a word about a miracle? You could go out in the middle of the street, but our windows, every house, abuts some sort of public thoroughfare, whether it's a courtyard, whether it's a main street, main drag. So therefore, by putting in the window, putting it next to the door, you can spread the word. Based on this, it makes a little more sense to think about the Chabad menorahs that are just out there. In other words, if the whole idea is to be out there, so that if you just want to be in the middle of the street, in front of a courthouse, even better. But again, according to the other approaches, if it's a house, so lighting in the middle of the street is not a house. So that's also very interesting. Now, Rabbi Ries points out that if you look in the Gemara, there seem to be two different schools of thought. Just within the one page of the Gemara, there seem to be two implications there as to whether if you're away and you're not in your house, well, say someone, God forbid, is homeless, or they're temporarily homeless, or they're in transit. So then, do they have an obligation or not? So there was a rabbi in the Gemara who says, look, I used to think that if I was away from the house, I would join in or chip in to the candles. Fellow who owns the house, he's lighting candles. So I give him a few cents. And so I'm part of his lighting, part of his house. I join in. But then I realized that my wife could light for me back at the house. I don't need to. So he fulfilled his mitzvah with his wife. But the idea is that one way or the other, you have an obligation, even though you're living at someone else's house, you're not in your home, you have an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. However, later it seems to say that if you're on a boat or something, then you're not really in a house, it's not an appropriate house. I'm not talking about a cruise ship, but you're on like a little rickety boat, right? A rowboat. You're in a little sailboat. And there's no real house there. So then you don't have to light. Now, if you happen to pass by, the boat is passing by, someone lives on the river, and you see the candles, so you can make a bracha on that. That God did these miracles for us. But it sounds like you don't really have an obligation altogether. So which one is it? So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, they say, if you're not in your home, if you don't have a home, you are exempt, period. However, the question is, okay, so the Gemara mentioned that if you're in someone else's house, you could chip in. What if you want to light your own? After all, when I'm in my house, my children light because they say, look, the more candles, the better. We have to have the number of candles based on how many people there are in the house. It's the third night, and there's six people. Let's have 18 candles, not just six, not just three for the third night. So, therefore, from someone's house, it's true, it's his house, it's her house, but I could let me light my own, so there'll be more people. The Rama says it's fine. Comes the Rabbi Salvechik, or Joseph B. Salvechik, my teacher of blessed memory, and he says, no, the mitzvah is to light according to the number of people in the house. How many people are in the house? Well, staying with my friend Goldberg. Goldberg, he's got five kids, so he's got seven people in his house. And now my wife and I are staying in his house. So now he's got nine people, right? So he's got, what do you have, six people? Yeah, he had seven people. Now he's got nine people, right? So he says, no, it's not nine people now. This is a house of seven people. The fact that we're staying there, it's not a house of nine people. He's advertising on his front porch that this is a house of seven people. And it is a house of seven people. It's not a house of nine people. I just happen to be sleeping over or eating over. That doesn't change the fact. And the support for that in the Rush. The Rush says that when you say that I'm going to light the second night and there are five people in the family, I'm going to light 10 candles, a full set for every person in the house, that doesn't include guests. You don't have to light for the guests. So we see that there's only one solution. If you want to light with the person you're staying with, you have to chip in. You can't do it any other way. Rabbi Willig has a sort of compromise that goes like this. Rabbi Mordechai Willig at Yeshiva University. He says, look, really, the Rabbi Salvechik is right. You have no connection with this house. You're just sleeping over. So you have to chip in. But, we have a custom that every person lights their own. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll chip in with the guy whose house it is, and I'll listen to his bracha. He's finished with his bracha, I'll say amen. And then I'll light my candle so I get both ideas. I get to light according to number of people in the house, including me, even though I'm not part of that house. And I also get to chip in. Fundamentally, Rabbi Salvechik, of course, is right, that you're not part of the house. You have to chip in. That's all you get to do. It doesn't feel right. Rabbi Willig's solution feels better. Rabbi Salvechik is more consistent with the idea that you're not part of the house, period. Now, there is another approach. Tzitz Eliezer says, look, even when you're not in your house, you are obligated. You don't have a house, you have to light. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you still have to light. It's an obligation on the person. So we have an opinion that it is that you are totally not obligated if you don't have a house. We have the view that you should chip in, and then you have the view that you're totally obligated even if you don't have a house. What if you were on a train or is it a train? So the Maharsham, the later authorities, he says that that's okay. If you're on a train, then that's your dwelling at that moment. So in the days when they would let people light a candle on a train, you could light on the train. What about a plane? Well, you're not going to light a candle on a plane. People have tried that. It's illegal and it's dangerous, and we shouldn't violate laws. But what about a flashlight? Or what about you light the little lights on top over your head? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thought, yeah, you should, without a bracha, you could light a flashlight or, these little tea lights or something, some kind of light, maybe the lights over your head. But you can't make a bracha. Or if you have someone at home, that's always a solution, right? Fellow's traveling to Israel, business. His wife is back at home with the kids. So she could light for him. It's not a problem that he doesn't have to worry about. Some people want to argue that the plane is not the same as a train. Rasham allowed for the train because you have a private cubby. But if you're in a plane and you're just sitting with other people, that's not your house. The house has to be private. So that's an interesting question as well. Now, an interesting solution came up. They said, well, if it's an obligation in the house, so I'm not in my house, I'll send someone to my house, he'll light the candles in my house. when we heard the suggestion made to Rabbi Nata Greenblatt here in Memphis, he said, "Wow, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous." Rabbi Reese was a little more polite about it, but he also has many questions about it, and said, "What are you talking about? We don't even find that you can make a shaliach, you can make a messenger to light for you. If no one's there from the house, how can they? What has it got? The house has to have people in it. It's an obligation of the house, but not just a house has no people in it. You know, go to someone's house and light for them." So he didn't think that was a solution. What if you're dining with a friend? Some say that if your whole family is moving, and they're gonna certainly if they're gonna stay for 8 days or certainly for a night for sure. But even if they're just eating there, some want to say if the whole family's eating there, it could be okay. But most rabbis don't like it so much. But the Strasburger Rav, he thought that it was okay. But Nitei Gavriel was a major posek today. So he said, you know, if you're in a real jam, you know, the family dynamics and different things, you could light in the fellow's house. Why can't you just light when you get home? Well, you certainly can, but, you know, usually you want to light at the right time. And if you have a big family dinner, maybe it'll last for hours and hours, you're going to light at 9 o'clock. There's nobody there when you're going to light the candles in the window. There's no one comes by your house. So it's not ideal. But certainly if you have more than one person in your family, then, you know, you could light late at night back at your house after the family dinner. So overall, we see the importance of the home, the importance, significance of the home, as Rabbi Reese pointed out, and we thank Rabbi Reese for all this Torah and these sources. The importance of the Jewish home, that Hanukkah is a statement to the Jewish people that you want to last another 1,000 years, another 2,000 years, build your Jewish homes. And from the Jewish home, we may not have a temple in Jerusalem, but we have our homes. If we sanctify our homes, we make them into a mikdash mat, into a small sanctuary, there is a hope that we can indeed continue as we have for the last 2,000 years in Mirzah Hashem, B.S. Goel, will continue until the Mashiach himself. Thank you for joining us here, the Anshei Sefard Beth Lemeth Congregation, for our discussion of the home and away on Hanukkah, and join us for each week for different discussions. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. We wish everyone a happy and a lichtige Hanukkah. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.